Let's begin what Gary wrote, read there. Here's on the, it's a parenthetical note, the one that is, was in parentheses. Thus he declared all foods clean. Thus he declared all foods clean. There are no restrictions, no dietary restrictions. Like last week, I hope you have a good doctor. And sometimes they put dietary restrictions on you. That's okay. Sometimes it's actually good to put self-imposed restrictions on you, yourself. That's okay. You're not going to catch me eating beets or cabbage, radish or olives, zucchini. Sonia, you can have the cottage cheese. I remember when I was about 12 or 13, I was at a friend's house. We lived in a kind of a weird family, so I was always going to other people's place for food. And I was over at a friend's house for dinner one time, and I would never forget sitting down, and we had some pot roast and some potatoes, and looking around and thinking, oh, this is, and then I saw something that looked like the biggest corn kernels I've ever seen in my life. And I went, I love corn. And so I pulled that, I dumped a bunch of that on my plate. Turned out to be, yes, you guessed it, hominy. Oh, man. So now you're over at somebody's house and you have this plate of hominy. And I couldn't eat it. I don't know what happened after that. I blanked out. Another time I was at a friend's house and we were having some cookies or something. And yeah, go get some milk. So I went to the fridge and I poured what I thought was milk and took a big glass, took a big drink of, you guessed it, buttermilk. So those are not on my list. They're not on my list. I had a longer list. I couldn't be Jewish. I eat bacon maybe once every 2 months or so, but you say I can't have bacon, I have a problem. You say I can't have clams. Listen, I grew up on the Oregon coast. My dad was a fisherman. We ate crab. You know those bottom fish, sturgeon. You can't, those got to be on my list. I don't eat them very often, but when I do, I couldn't eat you. Have you ever seen that movie, that series? One of my favorite used to be Man vs. Wild. You ever see Bear Grylls out there? He's going through the wild and he's trying to survive. He's teaching his survival techniques. Now there's another another series called Man vs. Food. This one should have been Man vs. Food. Because some of the things that he goes after to try to eat it is just crazy. And so my mind went back, what I thought was just a couple years ago, and my mind went back to, remember the Chinese Olympics? This was 2008. And I had to go dig these up and look at this. And I remember, I think NBC or whoever it was, panning across it. It was before the opening, and we were panning across these foods in China. And I'm thinking, there is no way. No hamburgers and mashed potatoes, please. And then they get this stuff. There's just no way. You guys get to eat in about an hour. There's no way to plan. For your sake and mine, I could not tell you what this soup is made out of. If you don't want to know. You don't want to know. I wish I didn't know. It's not good. But it's okay. It's okay. There are absolutely no restrictions. None. You won't catch me eating those. But Jesus says, and he called the people to him again, and he said to them, hear me, all of you. He's talking to whom? All the people around him, including his disciples. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person is that which defiles him. Now, right then, you think about Peter's life and when he jumped in. When he jumped into the conversation with both feet, he should have jumped in right here. He should have said, wait a minute, I've been,
didn't jump in. They didn't get it. They didn't, you know how I know they didn't get it? Because turn to Acts chapter 10. Now, this is at least a couple years. At least a year. At least a year after this sermon. Probably more. But I'll give it a year. And chapter 10, verse 9, you remember this. Put a picture up here for you so it'll remind you. The next day, as they were on the journey approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again, saying, a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up to heaven. Peter had forgotten what Jesus had said, or he didn't understand it, or he didn't take it to heart, or he was following his tradition. His tradition. And yet his tradition was so ingrained that he said, I'm not going to do that. Well, you know, some well-meaning people still suggest that pork and some other things were left off the list for dietary reasons. God knows better than us. So he left them off the diet for us. But see, that would go against his word. That's not good theology. Because it says in Genesis 9:3, after the flood, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. Okay, God, now wait a minute. Pork's bad for me. I think you're, I don't know. Can I call you doctor now? Are you really my healer if you're telling me things like this? We have to remember something. The law came to the Jews to separate them from the other people. What's it going to look like, God, when we set ourselves apart for you? Well, I want you to be circumcised. I want you to hold the Sabbath. I want you to keep these dietary laws. And on and on and on. This is what it's going to do for you to look like I want you to look. For other people to see that you are separated to me. It's the problem Jesus is seeing here is not an alimentary problem. I had to look that up. It's not a gastrointestinal problem. It's not something that goes into our stomachs. It's what comes out of our mouth. It comes out in word and action. What is Jesus really concerned about here? Food? Washing of the hands? No. He's made it so we can handle that. We can get sick. There are some things that we need to do. But he's not concerned about that. Jesus is in the revelation mode. He's revealing something to not only the disciples, not only to the Pharisees, but to us as well. He's revealing something to us, and it's something about purity. Verse 19 says, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled, the heart is where the cleanliness and the uncleanliness take place. Look at these verses. This is verse 15 and verse 18, 20 and 23. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. Whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him. What comes out of the person is what defiles him. And these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. What do you think Jesus was trying to say? He had to say it five times. Five times. It's not what goes in. It's what comes out. So two things I've learned from reading these five verses. One, you can't eat anything. You can't eat anything that makes you unclean. Two, what's on the inside makes you clean or unclean. Jesus had to go through a whole lot of talking for me to get those two points. Why? Why? Because I'm deaf. Because I'm slow. And I'm dull of hearing. What came out of these religious men is what upset Jesus Christ. And Jesus was there to reveal their hypocrisy. Their changing of the law revealed their hypocrisy. Their actions revealed their unclean heart. You see, the Jews had a tradition. It's washing the hands with a fist very diligently and really going at it. And yet, in Exodus 30 and 40, that was only imposed upon the priests. But now the Jews have said everyone must do it because it's written down in the law. It's written down in the law? Where's it written down in the law? Well, you see, they introduced their own law. And they rejected God's. That word reject in 7:9 and 7:13 is to annul. To make void, you have to use it. It's your God, your law is null and void. The Jews actually got to a point where their law was greater than God's. Now, does that ring a bell? Because we have some of that in our church history. Where the church actually stood over the scriptures and say, we are the interpreter of scripture. And we would rather you not have the Bible. We can do the talking. Just let your finger do the walking. We'll do the commentary. If I'm your commentary every week, or Steve, or Gary, or whoever's teaching, don't let that happen. Cooper writes this, it was a greater offense to teach anything contrary to the voice of the rabbis than it was to contradict Scripture itself. One Jewish student at a Temple University said that the Tanakh, that is the Old Testament, is only an index to the Talmud. The Talmud is the Word of God, he said. Let me tell you what the Talmud is. The Talmud is a writing with the Mishnah and other things. It is the writing down of the oral traditions. So in other words, God gave his law, and then people came afterwards, the scribes and Pharisees and those people before him, said some things, and then the Mishnah, they wrote those things down, and then after that, they did a commentary. So now you've got the law, which is supposed to be up here, and then you have the oral commentary, and then you have those written down, and then you have a commentary below that. So you have all kinds of stuff that actually took place over. It was put up and over the Pentateuch, the five books of Scripture. The two problems that they had was that they taught the traditions of men and they forgot the traditions of God. And these are two fruits of their unclean heart. Paul speaks to us about tradition in 2 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians, Colossians and Galatians, about the traditions that were handed down from them, because in the very beginning, the Christianity was oral, and much of the tradition was oral, and Paul said, don't forget, Timothy, what I've passed down. So there are good traditions, and then he talks about the bad ones, those that are set up by men. But is Jesus really concerned about traditions at this point? Well, he is. Or he wouldn't have it in Colossians and Corinthians and other places. He is concerned about tradition, but he's more concerned, the greater concern, is their hypocrisy. Their unclean hearts. So you see, it was their unclean hearts, their hypocrisy, that led to the law. Jesus goes on in
And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart, come evil thoughts. And then he pulled out the MRI for our heart. He pulls out the cardiogram. He pulls out that thing that is going to reveal in each one of us and each one of the disciples. Because this is what he's after. Well, from within, out of the heart, come evil thoughts. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things, these evil things, come from within, and that is what defiles a person. Now, I don't know about you. Yes, I do know about you, because you're human and I'm human. That when we go down this list, we say, okay, got me there. I've got a cancer there. I've got a problem there. I've got to work on this. But see, that's not for the disciples or the Pharisees or anybody else to reveal. That's for the Word of God to reveal. That's for Jesus to reveal. That's for the Holy Spirit to reveal. He's taking an MRI of our heart. You can go on into Galatians and other places where Paul, it's almost like he read Mark. And he said, some of this, you used to do some of these things. But he lists them in a few places. Why? This is our MRI. This is the revelation of the Holy Spirit and of God to you and me. This came to my mind. It's come up once again already this week, and I guess it's useful for us. Do you think the Song of Solomon's is supposed to be in the Scriptures? Yes. Every book in the Scriptures talks about Christ and his work. The Song of Solomon is a very good picture of maybe Solomon and his wife and how that courting went and how beautiful it is, and it's very helpful for marriage. But there's some things in here that you look at if you're thinking about the relationship we have with Jesus Christ, and it's very, very powerful. Chapter 1 of the Song of Solomon is the bride is coming and she loves him and he's bounding, and there's this wonderful courtship that started in it. And then chapter 2, the flowers come out and things are blooming, and wow, blooming love. And that's kind of the way it is with the church and a Christian in Jesus Christ. And then then the Holy Spirit may say something, and I believe he does say something like this. The voice of my beloved, this is the bride saying this, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. Verse 10, my beloved speaks and says to me, this is him talking to me, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past, that old life is gone, the rain is over and gone. And then he says this in verse 14. Oh, my dove in the cleft of the rock. Why is a dove in the cleft of the rock? Safety and security and hiding from the hunters. My dove in the cleft of the rock, in the shadows, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. I'm convinced that Christ wants to hear our voice. He says, confess your sins, and he's faithful and just. And he wants that relationship where we're wide open before him. But sometimes, we're just not going to open ourselves up. Sometimes, we're just not going to do it, and yet, if we read the Scripture, we can't help it. If we know what Jesus is trying to reveal, the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal, we're reading and doing my daily devotion, and then I'm coming down through the Scripture, and you've been there. Bang! Lightning! Man, Lord, you told me that 2 years ago, and I still didn't get it. I could be eating clams. You could be free from those things that harbor in your heart or in your life. We can be free. Can you imagine the face of Israel surrounding Jesus when he's going down this list? Oh, wait a minute.
He's not talking about the disciples, I mean, the Pharisees' hypocrisy anymore. He's talking about me. He's talking about me.
I had a relative one time look me in the face and said, "Do you realize that you are an alcoholic?" I said, "I don't drink." I was about 25 at the time. "I don't drink." And they went on to explain that I had lived in an alcoholic family and picked up some alcoholic tendencies. And maybe I want to take a look at what those things I harbor in my life and habit, those things that are causing me to be separated from other people. And it was hard. I went to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I didn't drink, just to understand what it was. What it was. And it comes down to stubbornness, and it comes down to pride, and it's my way or the highway. So this is a cardiogram. And if we're honest and determined to get this cleaned up, we'll take the scan, and we'll be humble before the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit. We don't give up on what that thing is in us. We root it out, and Jesus has come to clean us up. Yes, we're clean before Him, and yet we've got those things in our hearts and our lives that need to be rooted out. Colossians 3:8 says, "But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language." So Jesus says He comes to reveal it, and then we got to root it out. We got to rip them out. And we say, "No more. That's your work." No. Nope. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So in Romans and Colossians and Ephesians, Paul says these words: put aside, do not be, put off, do not let, get rid of. So the Lord does the revealing, and then we say, "You know, I'm not going to make any more traditions that are against the law anymore. I'm not going to do these things that I find written down by Christ in the Holy Spirit. I want Him to reveal them to you." We have to remember that the Holy Spirit, He doesn't reveal things in a vacuum. He doesn't come out of the blue and say, here's the Word of God, here's a revelation from the Bible. No, we have to be reading the Bible for the Holy Spirit to say, "This is what Jesus has said. This is what we've written down. This is what you take in." And the Holy Spirit helps us with what we've read and what we know. This is our diet. This is our diet. What's in your diet? "Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice their senses trained to discern good and evil. And finally, I am the living bread that come down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Spiritual diet. That's a spiritual diet. When we ingest this spiritual food, I think it's the next verse. When we ingest this spiritual food, Hebrews 4:12 says us, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." When we ingest this spiritual food, then that which is unclean is expelled. It gets expelled. We have a tendency, and I think the Lord is very, He's so efficient in His work that He brings an example in the Scriptures for us to see, this is what they did. This is what the Pharisees were doing,
and this is why. There was a blackness in their heart, and it came out in a law that actually put God's law on the shelf. It voided God's law. To the point where, when they said, here, I have this money, and it was going to, I was going to give it to my mom and dad. I was actually holding it for them. But, it's Corbin. I'm giving it to the Lord. And once they said that, let's say the person was 25 or 30, and their parents were 50 or 55, and still had some life before them. Once they said that, they could never, ever, according to the law, help their parents. That's what comes out of a hypocritical heart. We don't have too many problems with traditions. We have some of ours, and we have to work through them together. But this is why Jesus gets to the MRI for us. Those things that he's spelled out there reveals in our hearts what may come out as a change in our life, a determination to do or be something and say something that's going to separate from us, others. It's going to put us at odds with God. And sometimes we're not going to know what those things are until we're reading the Scripture. Until you can allow time for the spiritual food to be ingested and to reveal those things in your heart and my heart, it cannot be and will not be helpful for us. The spiritual food, we found this slide. Milk, accepting the basic tenets of the faith. Daily bread, studying the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, becoming Christ-like. Meat, going beyond the basic tenets. You see, Peter said this. Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort. That's 2 Peter 3:15. So there's those basic tenets of the faith that we need to be reminded of over and over again, and yet we should not leave the meat behind. It takes work to get through it, understand it, ingest it, and digest it to go on so that it can reveal those things that are still lingering in our hearts and our souls. The grand thing about this diet, this spiritual diet, is this. You can eat this food day and night. There's not a lot of pay or money for this food, and yet it's priceless. The benefits of this diet are overwhelming, and this diet not only builds you up, but it helps your relationship with others and builds others up. And it doesn't go to waste like the other food does. We come out looking more like Christ. I want to challenge you today to have a spiritual diet and to go through Scripture looking for those things that the Holy Spirit will reveal. And it's not just about this list here, but other things that the Lord is actually looking for an opportunity to help us with. Let's pray. Lord God, we worship you, and I pray that we can humble ourselves even before you now, to open our hearts before you. And yet sometimes we don't know what is in our heart. We don't know what is hidden. We need those revealed to us, and yet I know for me, I fear that. I don't want to face it. I pray, Lord, that you help us do as you've told us to do. Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And he will lift us up. Help us x-ray our hearts, Lord, our physical bodies as well, but yet our spiritual bodies most importantly. And help us overcome those cancers and those things that seem to just go on and on and on. Help us to become clean before you inside. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.